couple of things that we left out. We discuss. Yeah.
One thing I remember, I think you discussed last year, the whole thing of making Kiddush.
Okay, there's a topic of this. I didn't prepare for that today. The topic of making Kiddush before the Tekiyos. Are you allowed to make Kiddush to eat before you blow Tekiyos? So that's a very big topic of discussion. There's a general halacha that you're not allowed to eat. L'soichlu al hadam. You're not allowed to eat before you daven. The question is Tekiyah Shofar have the status of tefillah? Or is a Tekiyah, it's a mitzvah. It's not a geder of tefillah. The whole year round. The whole year round there's no harm making Kiddush after Shachris. That's the whole year round. On regular Shabbos, before you daven Musaf, does not appear to be any issue whatsoever of making Kiddush before you daven Musaf, provided you don't miss the Haftarah. Now there's another question. Oh, that's another question. There's another very big hot topic. Is the laning considered a chelik of tefillah Shachris? Some say yes, some say no. If the laning, the Kriyas HaTorah, is a chelik of Shachris,
you say a full Kaddish,
but do you say the Yoim? That's a difference between Nusach Ashkenaz and Nusach Sfard. That says a lot. That the recital of the Yoim speaks volumes as far as how Nusach Ashkenaz views Kriyas HaTorah versus how Nusach Sfard views Kriyas HaTorah. Nusach Sfard recites the Yoim immediately after the Kaddish Sholem. Really? Really? Okay. So they're changing minhag. These are very extreme things you're telling me. These are very, very extreme things.
You know why the shuls do it? They don't want people to run out at the end of the diet.
Right.
So they build it in there.
Okay, but it's not so simple to do these things, you know, because these things, like Chaim Berlin, they do some of these things, and over the years they've been criticized very severely for shinuyim that they do in the Nusach HaTfilah, and now everyone who criticizes them is doing even worse, is doing it a lot worse. And when they did these Chaim Berlin, so Rav Chodin used to say, I'm not making new rules. This is exactly the way they did it in Slobodka. I learned in Slobodka, this is how we did it there. I'm not changing the rules. This is what we did over there.
What do they do differently?
On Simchas Torah, they lain during Mincha. Simchas Torah, they daven Shachris, and Musaf, and they skip Kriyas HaTorah.
Yeah.
And the Kriyas HaTorah is integrated into Mincha. There are a few other things. That's a major. It's a major change. There are a few other small changes, but to do something like this. That's the whole world though. That's talking the right way to do it. To say only one Kaddish.
Yeah.
That's brought down. You're not allowed to be meisifim b'kaddish. That was only done to accommodate the shuls that only one person would say Kaddish. So if there were multiple chiyuvim, so the way you would accommodate multiple people who wanted to say Kaddish is that you would recite the Kaddish Yosam in between the various parts of davening. But since Bizman HaZeh we've gone, the accepted custom is that everyone says Kaddish together in one shot. So there's really, Adarabba, it's not proper to say Kaddish multiple times. We've become accustomed to saying Kaddish multiple times, you're not going to change. But usually a lot of the Jews who indeed say Kaddish multiple times, you'll find that when, let's say, it's Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah, and you recite three, and their custom is to recite a triple yoim. They say Mizmashir Chanukah Sabayis L'Davish V'Chanukah, and they say Hayoyimim Shabbos Mizmashir L'Yoyim HaShabbos. They say for Shabbos the Mizmar, and they say Baruch Nafshi. So you will see, and even in these places, they're not going to say three Kaddishim. They're going to say two. They're going to join together Mizmashir Chanukah Sabayis L'David with Baruch Nafshi. Right. Also, they're going to combine. Right. So they're different minhagim. Okay. But to go, another example of breaking the rules is, the problem is saying Asher. Look, think about this. The rabbi, think about every regular shul. In a regular shul, the rabbi, we put away the Sefer Torah, and then we put away the Sefer Torah. First we say Asher. And then we put away the Sefer Torah. And then the rabbi gets up to speak. Correct? Isn't that the typical procedure? The rabbi gets up to speak for how long? It depends. I know a rabbi who speaks every Shabbos for 45 minutes. It's his shul. It's my way or the highway. You don't like it? He has a minion. He's doing pretty good. Okay? He doesn't give cholent. He's a very friendly person and people like him and he has his minion. He speaks between a half an hour and 45 minutes. It's my shul. I'm paying for the shul. I'm paying the bills. He's independently wealthy. He pays the bills. That's the way it is. If you go to shul, you know you're still be there for a drasha, and you know he speaks very well. It's just good. It's okay. Any event, question: how are you going to do that? And then what happens after the rabbi? What happens after the rabbi finishes this drasha? Yiskadal v'yiskadash shnei rabba. Would it not be more proper in our eyes that we should put away the Sefer Torah, and then the rabbi will get up to speak, and after he gets up to speak, Ashrei Yoshvei Veisecha Yiskadal, and then Davin Musaf. Part of the Musaf is Ashrei Kidu Kaddish and the Shmona Esrei. Why do we first say Ashrei, put away the Sefer Torah, Mafsik with a Drasha, and then begin Kaddish? It's a real problem. It's a real hefsik in the middle of Musaf. So what would be the solution? Let the rabbi speak before they put away the Sefer Torah. You can't do that. It's a bizoyon for the Sefer Torah to remain on the bima while the rabbi is giving a long drasha. So basically, there is no solution. So we'll make a solution. The solution is by changing the Seder HaTzvila. Yet, none of the rabbanim felt that's proper. It's not that, even though logically it would be much, much better to do it, put away the Sefer Torah, and then have the Drasha, and then say Ashrei, and then say Kaddish, and then say the Shemona Esrei. No one traditionally has changed the order because you do not tamper with the Nusach HaTzvila. That's another one. That might be the reason why they do so. That could be a reason. Some will do it because that's when they insult their attention. The Balabatim, after Musaf, they're thinking about the Kiddush, you no longer have their attention. So they will speak the Davka before Kriyas HaTorah in order so that they will listen. They're still fresh. That's probably the more common reason. But you may find some hardline halacha people, the hardcore halacha people, which that's not the issue. The issue is not the attention of the balabatim, the audience. The issue is a hefsik. It's less of a hefsik for the rabbi to give a drasha after they say Kaddish Sholem after Shachris, before you say Vayehi bin Soyah Ha'aroin, that would be less of a disturbance to the Nusach HaTzvila than to give a drasha after you put away the Sefer Torah in between the Ashrei and the Yahalalu and the Kaddish. Einoch Enami. That is a contributing factor as to why some Rabbanim give their drasha before Kriyas HaTorah. However, we have not seen in the last 100 years that any Rav in the big major shuls has changed the Seder HaNusach. The Nusach is sacred. It's not something which you tamper with. And if you find a shul or yeshiva that has tampered with the proper Seder of how things are done, they're under a lot of criticism. They definitely are. I've seen it quite a bit. And therefore, now when you find a regular shul, all of a sudden on their own, they start doing strange things, that's really not right. Unless they have big piske halach, big rabbanim, we're telling them that no, it's proper. If you're nusach Ashkenaz, it's really shocking. You're telling me that people are davening nusach Ashkenaz because people want to go daven somewhere else. They want to leave the room, so they're going to change the whole nusach to accommodate them by having the Anam Zemiros and having the Yom. That's a shocking thing you're telling me. You're tampering with Mamish the Seder HaNusach HaTzvila. I remember even Hoshanis, okay, everyone told me Hoshanis, that was such a big thing to go change the Hoshanis. Instead of saying Hoshanis after Musaf, Nusach Ashkenaz traditionally recites Hoshanis after Musaf. So years ago, today no one cares anymore, everyone does whatever they want, but years ago for a shul to change, to say from Hoshanis after Musaf, after Shachris, it's world worth it. My father did this.
Correct,
My father, the Balabat, my father, the youngest of Yudhay, my father, the Balabat, they put a lot of pressure on my father that they want to change. They want to change from Musaf to Shachas. My father didn't want to do it. And they kept on pressuring him because there's no room in the shul and you have to take out. It was a very different situation, whatever it was. So my father went to Rav Moshe Feinstein. Father didn't do the sonnets, only went to Rav Moshe Feinstein. He asked him, can he do it? I don't think Rav Moshe said right away. He wanted to know all the details, and he said, if that's what the situation is, then it's okay. Then Yeshal Mi Lismach, you can change it. You can change it. So they changed it, and then after my father changed it, did he take a lot of hits, a lot of heat? In those days, it was, you know, there weren't 50 shuls in the neighborhood like there are today, every single corner, and no one would walk into a Young Israel because, you know, Young Israel is a Young Israel. Here we are in a Young Israel right now. There were B'nai Torah in the neighborhood, and there were only that many shuls. And when they heard that the Young Israel changed the Nusach from saying Hoshanis from Musaf to Shachris, it did not go very well in the community. It really did not. And even when my father said, Rav Moshe paskind its mutter. People says, so what? I'm not joking. I'm telling you, I'm not joking. And today, it's not even an afterthought. Today, the Gaboy among themselves will decide to do whatever they want and no one will say boo. Okay, it's not so simple to do these type of things. You change, you're being Meshane from the Nusach Hatfila. I personally am shocked. And no one, I told you this once, give a whole show on this. I'm totally shocked. Yehuda Green, he should be gesund and well. I'm a big chassid of Yehuda Green. Watching him, the Mitzvah Shabbos, the Kabbalah Slichos, it's beautiful. And there's no question there's a need for it. There are different strokes for different folks. There's a need for this. Some people, this is the way they need the Slavos. But what I'm personally shocked is how is he permitted, or how are they permitted to have people playing guitars, instruments, musical instruments, when he recites the Slichos? This is not a concert. If this was a concert of his Hisayros Gezundheit, Slichos is equivalent to davening mincha. It's equivalent, it's even more than davening mincha. Ashrei Chatzikadish, the Yud Gimel Midos Harachamim is the same exact thing as saying the Shemona Esrei. You then recite Tachanun Kadosh Sholem Oleinu. Chazal make it very clear. It's Mamish Davening. No, I'm sorry. Then you say because you don't Oleinu because you davening Shachris right away. Whatever. You're leaving the shul, so you really should be Oleinu. You're right, maybe there should be Oleinu. It's only because the way it's meant to be was you're supposed to daven Slichos before you daven Shachris, before you daven Shachris, so that's why in the Siddur there's no Oleinu. But if you're going to be Mishana the Seid, then you're going to daven Chatzos and finish, and you're going to go home, maybe you really should say Oleinu. Whatever it is. So the question is, how are you allowed to have musical instruments? This is exactly what the Reform movement did. This was the first break. They brought the organ in. Okay, but on Shabbos. So what? It was never ever done. It was never done in the history of Klal Yisrael. It was never done. You have musical instruments in the Beis Hamikdash for the Shiras HaLevim, not for davening. When the Levim sang Shira, it was accompanied by musical instruments. What? That's what I just said. By the Shira, not the Kurbanos. They brought the Kurbanos and the Levim sang Shira. And the Shira was bepet and it was accompanied by musical instruments in the Beis HaMikdash. We're not in the Beis HaMikdash today. We're not bringing Kurbanos. We're davening Tefillah. It was never, ever done in history from the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash where Tefillah was accompanied by musical instruments. It is a major, major breach in the Seder, in the tradition of how Tefillah is done. And it's shocking that no one says boo.
Oh, they do say boo.
Who says boo? I never heard it. They say boo because they don't like it. They say boo because they don't like the whole thing. You can't say, to my opinion, it was not worth anything. You can't say boo because you don't like it. None of your business. This is how they daven. Everyone has their derech in avodas Hashem. For some people, this is what gives them inspiration. So good for them. They're not bothering you. Don't mind your business. They're not doing anything wrong. They want to daven certainly. They want to sing. They want to sway. They want to dance a little bit when they're davening. So what's so terrible? It's beautiful. I enjoy going on. No one's objecting to the musical instruments. The objection that you hear people talking about is not the way you daven slichas. So it's not for you the way you daven slichas. That's how they want to daven, so none of your business. Let them daven.
What's your
opinion? My objection is musical instruments is a breach in halacha. It's a halachic breach. You don't have musical instruments. This is a new form of tefillah. This is what they did in the Beis Hamikdash. They come to Levim Bashir. What? This is not the Beis Hamikdash. In the Beis
Hamikdash.
What? Slichas? We don't know. It doesn't say they did slichas anyway in the Beis Hamikdash. We don't have any record of that. Too far back to talk about 2,000 years.
The only thing you can complain about is by Karbanos.
Chazal tell us that slichas is equivalent to davening mincha. It's just like you daven mincha. If someone would go and have an organ for mincha, you would say they're reform during the week as well. It's shocking. This is a shinui. It's a major shinui in the tzura of tefillah. I don't think someone the Shlomo Kalbach did he have guitars when he did slichas?
Yeah,
he did.
Mm-hmm.
You sure? Not so sure.
Yeah.
When
he did.
He for slichas.
Yeah.
You gotta go to YouTube.
He had the
no guitar.
Yes.
There was no guitar.
Yes.
Yes.
There was.
Go to YouTube.
You gotta go to YouTube. Okay. You gotta go to YouTube. Rabbeinu YouTube. They used to only Rabbeinu Google. Now there's competition. Rabbeinu YouTube is competing with Rabbeinu Google. What? Okay, so then the kash is not on them, the kash is on Kalbach. But the kash is on them, how they like to continue. This appears to be, at least in my opinion, and
they said what the problem was in the reform that they did it on Shabbos. On Shabbos, it's a chil Shabbos.
It's not mukha, it's chil Shabbos. You can't say it's chil Shabbos.
Why?
To play a musical instrument on Shabbos is not an issa deraisa. It's Shema Yisake, you might be issa midrabanan. Issa midrabanan, you might come to fix. Yes, there's no ain't shvus b'migdash for the avodah.
Oh, that's the Beis Hamikdash.
Beis Hamikdash. There's no shvus.
Is not a problem.
What?
It's not
plugged into the wall. Not electric. Minatoyra definitely not. Minatoyra for sure not. Midrabanan, it's osur because if it breaks, it may break. And if it breaks, you may come to fix it.
Yeah, but you could fix in the weekdays. You could fix the organ.
You're right. I agree with you, but it was never done.
It wasn't done.
It wasn't done. It's a davar muzar. It was what? He had a guitar. Not.
He says she's playing
guitar. On Sukkot of Shlomo Kalbach. Shlomo Kalbach himself.
Yeah.
All right, so the kash is on him. The kash then is on him, and it's a kasha. It really is something which is a kasha. Something that was never ever done.
Well, he wouldn't do it.
We don't know the reason why. You're saying that his iris. So how come we never did this? How come for 2,000 years it was never? We don't have a record ever being done. Musical instruments to accompany tefillah. Why not? It sounds so simple. It sounds so logical.
For a long time, they didn't sing in places also.
They didn't sing?
Yeah,
the Litvisha never sing.
The Litvisha... Okay, that's true. But singing... There's a very big difference between this chazonos. There was chazonos. There's not much... Okay, you can't... There is a difference between singing, a very big difference in singing and a musical instrument. I'm sorry, there's a fundamental difference between the two. Singing, there was chazonis, that we do know for a fact, and with that we have the earliest source, they have a chazon, shokoyle orev, shokhonar, koyle orev, and Gemara talks about that.
Yes,
so koyle orev,
he sang with he said,
he recited
a beautiful nusach.
A beautiful
he didn't
nusach.
Sing any negunim.
I hear what you're saying. It's not such an extreme step to go from a nigun to koyle orev. I hear what you're saying. Okay, I hear.
You know,
but
cool.
A musical instrument.
The first song in Kaimcha from Kalbach was a chasanish piece.
Yes.
Okay.
Later
I'm
on,
just coming to be Me'oyer. I don't know. Obviously, if it's done and no one's complaining, I'm a das yochid. It must be that I'm wrong. Must be. Let's go further. So we have limited time. Let's go further. Let's discuss.
We never discussed resolve the
issue of the Kiddush. So the answer is, there is no resolution. Is the Machloikis, is the Paiskim? Rabbi, so here's the question. Please let me say my piyut. Okay, the answer is as follows. During the year, we began to discuss there's a fundamental difference between Ashkenaz and Sfar. Ashkenaz, the way Ashkenaz, the impression Ashkenaz is that the davening is not over until the Yoim. The Yoim is the Gemar HaTfilah, which means part of Shachris is Kriyas HaTorah. You can, it's for sure Kriyas HaTorah. And you can even argue, since the Yoim is not said until Musaf is over, it may not even be proper to have to make Kiddush. A Kiddush club may not even necessarily be the right thing to do either. Nusach Sfar is not like that, obviously. Nusach Sfar, they recite Kaddish Shalim before Kriyas, they recite the Yoim before Kriyas HaTorah, that creates the impression that it's a complete break. You finish Shachris, you're done. You're completely done. Now there's Kriyas HaTorah. Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos is not part of the davening. It's not like during the week, Monday, Thursday, when the Kriyas HaTorah is read before Kaddish Sholem. The Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos is different, which would give you the impression you have fulfilled the obligation of Tefillah, and now no longer is there an issue of Le'soichlu Al Hadom, and therefore you're allowed to be Toyin. And you have to remember, you have a mitzvah in front of you. You have a mitzvah to daven Musaf. You have a mitzvah to lane Kriyas HaTorah, which would mean that you're not allowed to sit down to a Seuda. That would be forbidden. But to be Toyin Ma'at, to eat a little bit, would not be a problem at all, at least according to Nusach Sfart.
Nobody eats in Kiddush a little bit.
It's a problem. Okay, so that it's right. So really, it's an abuse. It is then an abuse of Allah. There's no doubt about that. Now, on Rosh Hashanah, okay, you've already heard Kriyas HaTorah, and you've already heard Kriyas HaTorah. Okay, you still didn't say the Yom, but you at least passed that point in time. Now the question is: are the tekiyos? How do you view the tekiyos? Do you view the tekiyos as tefillah, as a pure expression of prayer? It's a sound that's pure and simple. It's a bakosha. It's a tefillah. If you take the opinion that the tekiyos are tefillah, then it would be ideal that you should not eat before you blow the tekiyos. Just like we have a principle, loy soichlu al hadam, you may not eat before you pray for your blood. On a regular day, al achas kama v'kama, if the tekiyos is the prayer for your blood for the whole year, you're praying to live a whole year, then, you know, maybe you should think twice before you eat, before hearing the tekiyos, because you're going to certainly be in violation in a major, significant way of lo soichlu al hadam if you eat before you blow tekiyos. However, if you take the approach that tekiyas shofar is not a prayer, It's a mitzvah, like a briska. It's a chefse shel mitzvah. There's a mitzvah, the mitzvah's hayoim is to blow the shofar. Don't tell me about davening. That's in yonei kabbalah. That's in yonei drush. You're getting me, you don't confuse me with the facts. Okay, let's focus on yoim teruah yelochem. It's a mitzvah. It's a chefza de mitzvah. It's an object. You put on tzitzis, you blow the shofar. And somehow it has an effect. It's the mitzvah of the day. Then there's no issue. Once you've davened shachris, you're allowed to be toyei me'at. You may not go eat a su'uda, because eating a su'uda is forbidden when you have in front of you a mitzvah deraisa to do in this zman. So, if you just toyei ma'at, you're not going to be drawn into eating and drinking. So then, it's permitted, especially if it will enhance your ability to do the mitzvah in a better fashion. It would be permitted. Okay, so it really borders on that issue. Now, the other issue, though, is even if you'll tell me that it's taka tzfilah, let's work with that approach, but there is such a halacha that a choyle, someone who is not well, is allowed to eat before he davens. Lo'soichlu al hadam is only in a situation where you can. I can daven just as good without eating as with eating. But if you're in a situation where you're at a point where if I'm not going to eat, I'm not going to be able to have kavana, even if you learn that it's a tefillah, then there's grounds to be lenient that you're allowed to eat before you blow shofar. It really would be ideal that you should daven a kivos sikin, an early davening, where you get to blowing the shofar when you're still not yet starving. So these are all the various issues. In the world, the yeshiva world, without question, beyond a shadow of a doubt, 90% of the yeshiva world eats before the blowing of the shofar. Because, exactly, it's a combination of two factors. Number one, in truth, the blowing of the shofar is not davening. It's not a tefillah, it's a mitzvah. It does not have the status of le'soichlu al hadam. Number two, even if you want to tell me that no, it's a pure tefillah, but we're choylem. If you're ready, it's already 12, 1 o'clock, and you're not going to finish davening for another 2-3 hours, you're a choyla. You're allowed, the law does not apply. You're allowed to eat in order that you should be able to have kavanah to daven. Oh, you'll tell me if that's the case, or just daven earlier, start davening at 6:30 or 7 o'clock, and that way you don't have a problem. No, there's a consequence to that as well, because then you'll finish davening too early, and what are you going to do the rest of the day? You're going to go play Monopoly? You're going to play, you're going to go read all these magazines and read who knows what and go speak Lashon Hara and do things, you'll eat. And then what are you going to do when you finish eating? You're going to play around? So it would be ideal that you spend the majority of the day in the Beis HaKnesses, davening and learning in an environment which really captures what the day is all about. So it's a trade-off. You got to look at the big, big picture. You have to look at all of the variables, and there are many variables. It's late in the day, people are hungry, they're tired, people have children, not everyone is excited, they can fast the whole day in Rosh Hashanah. And you have to make a rule that the majority of the tzibor can handle. You can't go make rules, do things which is going to be an inconvenience for the majority of the tzibor. And you also take into consideration that it's not tefillah, it's just a mitzvah, and there's really no technical reason why you can't eat, and the Kabbalistic reasons why you should not eat is not really, is it could be overlooked because it's late in the day and we have to go after the majority. That is what has become the custom in the yeshiva world, to eat before they blow tekiyos. On the other hand, many batei kinesios shuls, regular shuls, who go straight, and they'll finish davening at approximately 1 o'clock, 1:30 on Rosh Hashanah. It's not the end of the world. It's very easy to not eat. It's very easy. Take a cup of coffee in the morning. You're allowed to drink. It does says in the pasuk, "Soichlu al hadam." You're not allowed to eat, but you're allowed to take a drink. So you can take a drink before davening. You can be makel. You can take with sugar. You can be makel. So there are things. And so it's not the end of the world to be machmir and not to eat before you blow tekiyos. So what I've seen over the years, maybe I'm totally wrong, is that the shuls. Generally do not eat before davening, because their goal is to finish davening not a minute later than 1:30. And the yeshivas, their goal is not to finish not a minute before 4 o'clock. Therefore, that really changes the dynamics of what we're going to do. Period. Zehu. That's basically it. Very quick, because I ran out of time. There's another issue of making kiddush. There are two issues. One is the issue of eating. The other issue is if you're going to eat, are you required to make kiddush? So many will argue that the chiyuv to make kiddush only begins after musaf. That's why in the ger shtibluch, where their custom is, this is going dead. Where the custom the Gerish Tibluch is to learn for 45 minutes to an hour before Kriyas HaTorah, they serve coffee. There's coffee in the halls, maybe even cake, and the coffee and cake. The people, they drink the coffee and they eat the cake without making kiddush, because the chiyuv of kiddush begins. It depends. There's a big question. We once had the shiur on this. Either begins after Shacharis is over, which some will tell you Shacharis is not over until you finish Kriyas HaTorah. And some will tell you it does not even begin until Musaf is over. The Yom is not necessarily a Raya. If you want to learn the Yom, like with Ashkenaz, then in Echanami, there's no Chir, you can argue, that's part of Musaf, so there's no Chir to make Kiddush until you say the Yom. So the Kiddush clubs don't even really have to make Kiddush. They can just go and eat. There's no need. What? The drinking. And what is a nafkamina? That's a very interesting thing. The nafkamina is that someone, what is a nafkamina? Nafkamina, if you really want to be machmir always, if someone eats, let's say you go and you eat before tekiyos, Okay? You eat before the kiyos and you make kiddush. Should you make kiddush again before you eat at home? So some will argue, like what we just said, is that since there's no chiyuv to make kiddush before tekiyos, because the chiyuv kiddush first begins when you finish musaf, so the kiddush that you made before tekiyos is not a kiddush. The borei priyagofen you made is very nice. You made a borei priyagofen, beautiful. It's a very nice borei priyagofen. You drank some wine, you made alagefen, but that borei priyagofen does not count towards your obligation to make kiddush.
Kiddush b'makom suda, right?
No, that's a, so. No, it is a suda. Let's say it is a suda. Kazayis, we hold the kazayis. You're getting to another issue. That's another topic of discussion. Kiddush b'makom suda in general. But let's make believe we pass that eating a mezonos is called kiddush b'makom suda. It's a whole different sugya. Let's say, for argument's sake, that eating a kazayis of mezonos is called kiddush b'makom suda. So you have kiddush b'makom suda, but who says you have kiddush altogether? Since it's not yet the zman of a chiyuv to make kiddush, the zman chiyuv to make kiddush first begins when you finish musaf. So the zman chiyuv kiddush has not yet begun. So you should be machmir and make kiddush twice. You make kiddush before tekiyos in order that you can eat, because maybe the Zman Kiddush has begun, and then maybe on the tzad that the Zman Chiyuv Kiddush has not begun, you're going to make Kiddush a second time when you finish Musaf.
But if you make Kiddush in Shul, don't you also have to make Kiddush at home when you get home?
And a regular, after Musaf is over?
Yeah.
No, that's his other question. Is that called Kiddush B'Mokayim Suda? If you go to Shul, you finish Musaf entirely on a regular Shabbos, and you make Kiddush, and you eat a Mizoinus, and then you go home, do you have to make kiddush again? So it's a machlekes apoyskin. Some say you do, because you have to have kiddush b'mokayim su'uda. The kiddush that you made in shul was not a kiddush b'mokayim su'uda, because you did not eat bread. Since now you're planning to eat bread, it's a higher level, and that level demands that you make kiddush again. And some will say no. You already fulfilled the obligation of kiddush b'mokom suda in the Beis HaKnesses when you ate mezonos, and there is absolutely no obligation for you to make kiddush again when you come home. Now, if you have someone at home who did not hear kiddush, you have no choice. Right? Many times you come home, you had a nice kiddush in shul, but the people in the house, they have not heard kiddush yet. And even though they ate, they'll tell you what we ate was breakfast. That wasn't called lunch. But then, since they have not yet heard kiddush, you need to make kiddush a second time. Okay, let's go further. Abayisai, let's go further. Okay. Okay, we did all these things yesterday. Now let's talk about an interesting yisoid of the piyutim. On the first day, many of us today the minig in most shuls, the style today is not just to say as least piyutim as possible. You only say the piyutim in the oisiyos kiddush levana. You know what that means? Mr. Glatter taught me what that means. The oisiyos kiddush levana. What are the oisiyos kiddush levana? Super super duper sized letters. Why are the oisiyos? Why the super duper large oisiyos called oisiyos kiddush levana? Because when you go outside in the dark, when there's no light, you can't see unless the letters are gigantic. If you only have moonlight, you don't have electric lights, you don't have what's there for you. If you have teeny little letters like this, you can't see in the dark.
Now we have tripods.
If you have big, grois oisiyos, then you can see. So the oisiyos gedolos. Okay, so it's another term is the oisiyos kiddush levana, which basically means large size letters. So the style in our generation is, if the letters are not at least font size 0.13 or 14, then you don't say it. You don't say it. It has to be giant size letters. And what's nogay is that we begin Musaf, we say misoid chachamim univoinim. That's normally said by the shatz in with nusach, with expression, and that basically is a hakdama to the piyutim. This is only supposed to be said, but today the first day Rosh Hashanah, because the first day Rosh Hashanah we say piyutim before we say Kiddusha. We say Piyutim. We say Piyutim in the Brach of Ovois. I'm sorry, in that particular, in Ovois, we say Piyutim. On the second day, Rosh Hashanah, we do not, today the custom has become that we do not say Piyutim because the letters are too small. So,
in the back of the
Siddur. So it could be that it's not Nogea, the art scroll.
The second day, it's not Piyutim.
Let me see. Today, this really is not an issue because we're spoiled.
We have no Piyutim until. We have a tailor.
Okay, let's see. I have here in front of me a machzor, an art school machzor published in the year 2000. Okay, so here is the Shlishmona Esrei, and now let's come to the Chazor Sashas for Yom Rishon. Okay, Yom Rishon. Everybody, say please, Yom Rishon. Yom Rishon. After the Shatz comes to the words Umevi Goel of Nei Vneim Laman Shemoi Bi Ahava. He begins with the words Misoid. Chachamim unevaynim umilemedas mivinim eftecha. The Shat says, I now begin with the permission of the wise men, the smart men, those who have knowledge. I open up my mouth b'sfilo uv'sachanunim l'chalois to beseech ulechanein pnei melech malchei hamlochim v'adonei ho'adonim. This basically is a bakosha to recite piyut. And indeed, there's lots of piyutim. Now we only say the big letters. What are the big letters? We say. Some say everything. I think most shuls they say
in the
back, correct? But we say something. You'll say Karen b'moshcham hayoyim eidecha rachum zechor shivuas avodecha nale shofar im tachanun shakai lefatoyscha bom bechinun. We say something. Being that we do say. Epis, something. Most will say more than that. They actually say everything over here. That's why it's appropriate to say Misoid Chachamim Unevaynim Umilemedas Mevinim. However, on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, the Chazoras Hashatz, Yoim Sheni, the Chazoras Hashatz. Okay, let me turn to the page. We'll begin Yoim Sheni. So there's nothing to say. Leman Shemo Biava. You go right away to Zochreinu Ata Gibor. And then you come later to Lekel Orech Din. Therefore, now you see, it's not relevant today because today was spoiled. We have Machzor that have a day for Yom Rishon, a day for Yom Sheni. But not that long ago, we didn't have Machzor that broke up Yom Rishon, Yom Sheni. It was all mished together, and they had top and the bottom. So it was very confusing, and it happened, it seems more often than not, that the Shliach Tzibur would think that Misoid Chachamim unevaynim umilemedas zikenim is part of the nusach to be said even on the second day, and then he would not say any pit. He would just say those words, and then would immediately say zochreinu lechayim melech chofetz b'chayim, and go further in the nusach of the first three brachos with no piyut at all. And the first time you say piyut is when you get to Lekel Arach Din, which is part of Ato Kodesh, was part of. So therefore, that's wrong. And that's wrong. Now, even though today was spoiled, and we don't have this issue because all of our Machzorim today will have a separate day for the first day, and a separate section for the second day, and the people who made the Machzor figured out all of these issues, but for some of us, we're still a little confused why on the first day did the Shat say so nicely, did he chant in such a nice, melodious tone, Misoid Chachamim Unevoinim, and on the second day he did not. And the answer to that question is because Misoid Chachamim Unevoinim Umilemedaz Zikainim is a Hakdama to Piyut. And if you're not saying Piyut, then if you're not saying Piyut, then it's not proper. You do not say Misoid Chachamim Unevoinim. So we now know the answer to this mystery. On the first day Rosh Hashanah we recite Misoid, and on Yom Kippurim we recite Misoid Chachamim. But we do not recite Misoid Chachamim Unevoinim on the second day Rosh Hashanah because we do not recite any piyutim in the bracha of Ovois and Chiyas HaMesim on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, and Misoid is nothing more than a Hakdama, a Netilas Rishus to recite Piyut.
That's why everybody says
Rosh Hashanah. They do say Piyut?
No,
No, you're not supposed to. That's exactly the point. If there's no pilut, you're not supposed to say misoy. That's exactly what the point is. What? Okay, that's baruchu. This is a special for pilut in the Shemona Esrei. Misoid chachamim unevainim is netilas reshus to say pilut in the first two brachos of the Shemona Esrei. Of Ovois and Triya Samesim. If you're not planning on saying Pilut even the first day, if you're going to daven the first day a shortened version of the davening, and you're not going to say any Pilut on the first day, then you do not say on the first day Misoit Chachamim Unevoinim. Next topic. Next thing we left out from yesterday. Okay, interesting. Hatoras Nedarim. Hatoras Nedarim, we get into this, a short point I found to be very interesting, is that we get into the impression that it's no big deal to be Matar Neder. Since every year on Erev Rosh Hashanah we're Matar Neder, so we get into that, oh, I'll do whatever I want to go do, in case I have an issue, I'll be Matar Neder. We mentioned yesterday that Hatoras Nedarim on Erev Rosh Hashanah is not something you can learn from the entire year, because the Hatoras of Erev Rosh Hashanah is only for Nedarim that you do not know about. If you know about a neder, you cannot. It's not included in your standard Ataras Nedarim. You have to go. You have to follow the rules of exactly how to be mater neder. Now, to the degree, it's very, very interesting that in ancient times, I don't know exactly what it means. Ancient times, how long ago this was? If a person went to a rabbi and said, "I want to be mater neder. I did something a couple of times, and I want to be mater neder," they would punish the person. They would issue a knas. We're not just going to let you be Matar Neder. What did you do? You made a neder that you're going to fast every Monday and Thursday. And I did. I fasted every Monday and Thursday, let's say, for 2 weeks. And now you know something? I can't do it anymore. So you know what, Rabbi? Please, I have Harata. Or had I known, or I have a Pesach. Had I known how difficult it would be, I would not have made this neder. So Rabbi, please do me a favor. Can you please be Matar Neder? I'm telling you what my neder is. I'm telling you my Charata, I'm telling you the Pesach, you're a rabbi, you're a Talmud Chacham, bring together two more people who are not my relatives, we can do it the real, real way, and you're going to say, Mutulach, Mutulach, Mutulach. The rabbi says, not so fast. Not so fast. What kind of business is this? You just make a neder. You're going to fast every Monday, Thursday, and you did not think about the consequences of what it's going to happen, and can you really go through with it? You think making a neder is just a lightweight, you're just playing, it's a game? We're not going to be matter your neder until, what are you, you're a college student? Okay, $100. $100 tzedakah. What, you're a balabas, you're a businessman, you make a parnasa? $1,000. $1,000. Not to me, give it to the tzedakah of your choice. I want to see a check made out to any tzedakah you want, your choice, except not the shul. No bribes here. No, should not look anything look bad. I want to see you write out a check to any tzedakah of your choice that I have nothing to do with. And that way, you'll learn your lesson. Next time, you won't go just make a neder or just do things without paying attention to what you're doing. Nedarim advarim chamurim ad me'oid. At kedei kach, that in ancient times, when a person went to a rabbi to be matir neder, it was a given that before the rabbi was matir neder, the way it has to be done, there was a knas. So don't get the impression that when you come in Rosh Hashanah, everyone gets up and is matir neder, everyone recites the nusach and it's just a big game. Oh, that's what a neder is all about. You can just do whatever you want and you'll be matir neder of Rosh Hashanah. No, it doesn't work like that. The Hataras Nedarim Erev Rosh Hashanah, the reason why we are so lenient and it's so lightweight is because it's only for Nedarim which a person does not know about. Things that just happen that may, if you'll go look from, in hindsight, if you'll go and you'll have a diary and someone will review your life, they'll tell you, you know, what you've done in your life constitutes a neder and you really need to be mat a neder. Those are the types of nedarim that you do not know about, which we are very generous and very lean, and we allow you to be matan Erev Rosh Hashanah with the nusach and at night with no bezdin, with just friends, relatives, v'chulu v'chulu. But don't get the impression that neder is something which can be taken lightly.
There's no way to be matan neder where you say tanish shel mincha, where you beg it. There's a thing there, chutz mitanish shel mincha.
What?
That's something else.
Oh, that. Okay, that's a question of the Nusach. That's a whole other Nazir Shimshain. Afilu Nazir Shimshain. Chutz min Nazir Shimshain. What does that mean? There's no Nazir Shimshain bizman hazeh. Nidrei Tainis. What does that mean? Okay, these are different issues, but I think when it says Nidrei Tainis means by accident. You're not aware of. It's a Nidrei of a Tainis that you were not aware that this may have been. That also is the Moidah for the future. Okay, so in a Chanami, there are the Nusach has to be studied. That's not our topic, right? There's a lot to talk about the Nusach, what exactly it means. But the general Yisoid is, it's only matter things that we do not know about.
You have to express it either, or can you think about it? You said, they're having an appeal, and I'll give 100.
No, a thought is nothing. No, actions will count. The thought is nothing. You have to say it out. If you don't say that, it's nothing. Dvarim shebelev in the, but if you do something three times, then it becomes a neder. If you do it without thinking, if I do and I give, if let's say every year you give for Yiskar $100, it can be the same appeal every single year. You give the same amount of money. Maybe you can argue that it's already a neder. If you do a dvar, you do a maisa mitzvah three times in a row, it can very well be viewed as a neder, and the following year you have an obligation to give the $100 again, whatever you gave last year. And you can't afford it, you can't afford this year, you have to be mat a neder. You have to go to a rabbi and tell him that I've given $100 every single year for the appeal, and this year I can't afford. I don't have the money. So and what should I do? I want to be mat a neder. Had I known, I never would have made it. I would have always said every single year, I would have said, bli neder. I'm not giving this, I'm making it clear, when I'm giving the money this year, it should not be viewed as one of three times to make a neder. I never said that. Had I known this would happen, I never would have done it. And the rabbi has to bring with him another two people, and they may not be your relatives, and it has to be during the daytime, and he'll be matir your neder. Yeah. If you do something consistently, three times in a row, halacha considers it to be a neder. That's why they say believe. That's when you get an aliyah, they always say, they should say Bali Neder. Some said there's no purpose then. What's the purpose? The whole purpose is you want to mechayev the purpose. You say Bali Neder, Mishapara. There's also the purse does not keep his word. There's a curse. A curse not keeping your word if you pledge to give a certain amount of money. Okay, next topic. Okay, one more. Okay, maybe just one more. I was going to give you a little break and a little jush. But, okay, let me just see, make sure I got everything over here. I want to tell you one more thing before I wind down. I wrote down notes. Believe it or not, I have actually notes for today's shiur. We did everything really yesterday. I now use called Google Keep. You know what Google Keep is? It's unbelievable. It's unreal. It changed my whole world. Google Docs was to me a whole new world. And now I discovered even better than Google Docs for note-taking is an app called Google Keep. And it's basically a special app made for taking notes and organizing your notes. Blows my mind. Keep. K-E-E-P. Keep. It's amazing. It's a learning curve.
And you have to type it in.
Of course. Yeah, not type. Whatever. You peck away on your on a piece of glass. What? You can do it also if you have a good diction and you train it. You can do it also. Okay, let me just tell one more last topic before we take a little break, and that is when you blow the shofar. I know we spend so much time learning about the shofar. One more last thing about the shofar. When you blow the shofar, there's a minig, an ancient minig to cover the shofar. Very fascinating minig. You cover the shofar. Why? Now, there's a problem by doing so. What's the problem? Every mitzvah you do, the requirement is the mitzvah is oiver, the bracha, when you make a mitzvah, oiver la'asiyasan. You're supposed to make the bracha the moment before you do the mitzvah. So we got a big, big problem. Now let me elaborate. When else do we cover something? Friday night, when you make kiddush, you cover the chalos.
Yes.
By Pesach, mechasnis hamatzis. When you pick up the wine. Now that's not a big deal because there, the reason why you're covering the challah, you're covering the matzah, is because I'm not dealing with you now. Right now, I'm dealing with the wine. I don't want to embarrass you. Even though really, according to halacha, you're better because I make on you a hamoitzi, and I make on the wine a bor priagofen. And the rules of Hilchos Brachos tell me that when you have a choice between wine and bread, you make hamoitzi. So what are you doing making kiddush first Friday night? You're breaking all the rules. Unbelievable. You bring home the malachim. You know, think about it. You go, think about it. You go and you bring to your house a big Rosh Shiva. Big Baal Halach. A grace Baal Halach. You bring the Chofetz Chaim into your house, who wrote the Mishnah Berurah, and you send them by your table, and you do everything wrong. Whatever it says in the Mishnah Berurah, you do fakert. Whatever it says you're supposed to do this, you do the wrong way. What a chutzpah. You bring the Baal Halach into your house and you do it wrong. Can you imagine Friday night, you bring the Malachim, they're Hashem's representatives, they know the Halacha, God's fine. And what do you do? The first thing you do is you make Kiddush. Excuse me, sir, when you have wine and bread, what are you supposed to eat first? Hilchos Brachos. Bread. You make a Hamoitzi before you make a Bor Priagofen. So why are you making a Bor Priagofen first? You don't know the basic Halacha, go back to first grade. Breaking the in violation. So what do? We cover the bread. The bread doesn't exist. It's not here. It's not here. So it's only wine. Oh, I'm making a bor priagofen. I'm making kiddush. That's why we cover the wine. That's why we cover the bread. Okay? The truth is, by the way, that's not the real minig. The real minig is, you're not supposed to even bring the bread into the room. Okay? That's the real minig. The real minig is, when you make kiddush, there should not even be bread. This is just be, you make kiddush. And then, after kiddush, you bring the bread in. If you already brought the bread in, you're not going to take it out. So then, you cover it. So when you cover it, it's like it's not here. And then you can recite Borei Pri HaGofen. And that now has become our minhag for various reasons. That's not our topic of discussion. Now, in that situation, I'm not making the bracha on the bread. But if when I make the bracha on the bread, it's not covered. Do you cover the bread when you make the bracha on the bread? How do you make hamoitzi? Does anyone here cover the bread when they make hamoitzi? No, you take off the cover and you pick them up. You're holding it. Why are you holding it in your hands? You make the bracha oiver la'asiyasan. The bracha is made the moment before you do the maisa mitzvah. Correct? So we have a very, very big problem. This is unique. Once in a year you have this situation. You never have this anywhere else. You're making the bracha on tekiya shofar. L'chayra, the halacha would tell us you hold it in your hands, right near your mouth, and you say, Baruch atah Hashem, Elokeinu melech haolam asher kedoshanu b'mitzvos v'mitzvanu l'shmoya kol shofar. Baruch atah Hashem, Elokeinu melech haolam, shehechiyanu v'kiyamanu v'hagiyanu lazman hazeh. And then you right away put it to your mouth and you blow. Right? Oyvei la'asiyasan. When you put on the tefillin, what do? You put it all the way over here, you hold the strap, you make the bracha. And what are you doing? There's no shofar here. The shofar doesn't exist. Nechasen ha-shofar. Cover it over. And now, grosa kavanis, I make the bracha. What about oyver la'asiyasan? What happened to oyver la'asiyasan? It's mamash apella. What is this minig all about? So the answer is, there really is no good answer. Well, I'll tell you the controversial solution to this. I say it's controversial because the drush of why you cover it goes really against what the answer is. I'll explain to you what that means in one moment. The solution is you hold the shofar. You have to look very carefully at the Baal Tokei, what he does. Very interesting. Some of the Baal Tokei, they actually hold the shofar in their hands. And it's covered. The shofar is covered, but it's held. Are touching it. That's somewhere in the middle. That's a middle approach. The extreme solution were to be, you hold it, mamish, and it's covered. It's on the bima, it's on the, but you hold it exactly the way you're going to hold it when you blow, you hold it in your hands. And it's covered. That way it's covered, and you're holding it. Now why do you cover it? So the simplest answer is a Kabbalistic answer. In order to prevent the Satan from interfering. You wanna the Satan cut out the words of Minamitsar Karasi Kara Satan. We want to prevent the Satan from interfering. That's the simple reason. The other reason why is We don't want to embarrass the shofar, just like the bread. What does it mean to embarrass the shofar? What is a shofar? A shofar, what is the mitzvah? The mitzvah is the sound. It's not the matter. It's not the physical shofar. We don't really care about the physical shofar. We care what the shofar is going to produce. An animal, when it has horns, they are tools, they're weapons. An animal goes and fights, a ram fights with its horns. The animal does not think about the sound that comes out of its horns. When an animal walks around with beautiful horns, it takes pride that I have a nice weapon that can on my head. So that is what a shofar is. It's a weapon. The last thing in the world that the shofar thought it would be used for was to produce a sound. Sound? That's not what I'm all about. I'm about action, not intangible sound waves. Wi-Fi? What is this over here? What is this? Sound? Oh, so the shofar, when the shofar hears, Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvasovit sivanu lishmoya koil shofar. The shofar says, what? What? After all that yigia of growing these beautiful horns and all the pride, this guy here, he says, lishmoya kol shofar. What? It's insulted. It's insulted. That's not what the shofar is. It's a weapon. Adrav, that's what we do. We take our weapons and we destroy them. And we say, Ribbono shel Olam, who needs this? The only thing that we need is you, Hashem. We need Bakol Kol Yaakov. All we need is to cry out to you when we're safe. Adrab, the whole essence of blowing the shofar is like when it says, when Mashiach will come, you'll take the plowshares and you'll destroy them. Because when you call out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you don't need weapons. The weapon is going to be transformed into Kach. So it's an insult. It's an insult, you cover it. We don't want to embarrass the shofar. Now, if it's an insult, if it's the Satan, or it's an insult, the truth is, if you're going to hold on to it, the Satan's going to know about it. He feels you're holding on to it. If you don't want to embarrass it because it's a weapon, you shouldn't be touching it. You don't know the halach, you're not allowed to bring a weapon into the Beis HaKnesses. You have to leave it outside the Beis HaKnesses. In Texas, they talk about in Texas, the people carry weapons in the street, they have them in the shuls, in the lobby, special lockers to put your weapon. Today they're trying to put lockers for cell phones. No one's interested. But in the shuls, they have lockers for your gun, because you're not allowed to bring in a gun, a weapon, into a Beis HaKnesses. Unless you live in Eretz Yisrael, it's Sakana. Eretz Yisrael is a different story. It's Sakana's Nefashis. So then you... I guess not. It's more of a pride. It's more of a covetic thing. At least it used to be. Maybe now it's different. I don't know. In Eretz Yisrael, of course not. It's Sakana. So there, the rules are different. But it's a weapon. It doesn't belong in the Beis HaKnesses, period, a shofar. A shofar is a weapon. It doesn't belong in the Beis HaKnesses. Just like according to Halacha, you're not allowed to bring a gun into a Beis HaKnesses, you're not allowed to bring a shofar into a Beis HaKnesses. Tomei Yikra. It's a weapon.
So if you doubt it, there's nothing Beis HaKnesses, you really pull the shofar
outside? No, so we do it. We do. What do we do? Because we take that weapon and we make it into the kol Yaakov. But in essence, what is a shofar? It's a weapon. A weapon may not be brought to the Beis HaKnesses.
That's why it's only uncovered when you use it.
Oh, exactly. That's why you cover it. You're not going to bring it here altogether. Again, three perushim. Satan, number two, we don't want to embarrass it because we're not using its koyach, we're using the sound. Number three, it doesn't belong here. What is it doing here in this makam? A weapon in a shul? Ugh, you don't want to do that. A shul is a place of tefillah, place of peace. But the mitzvah hayoyim demands we bring a weapon into the Beis HaKnesses and destroy it by producing sound. So until we get to that moment, it's not allowed to be here. Or we're going to leave it outside and make the bracha and bring it inside. That's a hefsek. So you bring and you cover it. You cover it. That could be also similar. Yeah, that's taka true. A knife also, it's also like a weapon. You're not allowed to. Very same idea. Barzal, you're right. Same exact idea. So that's what you cover. So therefore, touching it, holding on to it, doesn't really solve the problem. Because just like you have to cover because you don't want it to be here, period. You want to confuse it. You don't want the son to know about it. You don't want to embarrass it also. You're holding on to it. So it's there's a sense that it exists. You don't. You want to. It's a weapon. So holding on is not necessarily the best thing to do. So why then? But it's over. It's not over. Lasiyasan. What could you do? No, it's not over. Lasiyasan. There's not always a solution to every problem in halacha. But appreciate the uniqueness of this halacha. It's the only time of year where you go out of your way where it should not be over la'asiyasan. There's also a machshava drush in that alone. Every single mitzvah you make the bracha bedavka over la'asiyasan. Shofar, you go out of your way that it should be not over la'asiyasan by covering it. What's the reason? We give three reasons why you cover it. Okay, that but some want to hold it. You want to be mekayim both. You cover it. To mekayim, the different reasons that we've explained, but you also you hold it in order to be mekayim that it should be a shtickle over la'asiyos. And some say adraba, holding it is not. It goes against the reason to cover it. The reason why you're covering it is to get rid of it. If you're going to hold it, then it's like it's not uncovered. So what do you want to say? Some do what you do. You cover it. You don't. But you put your hand on it. So it's nishtahi nishtaher. Mitzad echad, I'm not holding it mamish. It's a hefsek. Mitzad sheni, it's oiver la'asiyosan. At least I'm in physical proximity. I'm touching it through a hefsek of the covering. Okay, we're going to stop with that. We'll take a very short break. And then I'll give you a very short drush in honor of today and selichos.